Open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter number 66. Isaiah chapter number 66. I'm not a bit worried. Are y'all worried? I ain't a bit worried. Our nation, several years ago, I was preaching a revival down in Florida at Oak Grove Baptist Church. I had a unique experience on that day. I went out before the service like I always do. If I'm in revival, I'll try to find a place to go hide. I'll get off in a Sunday school classroom somewhere and back in the back. I like to get in a nursery area if I can. It's kind of what I fit in better than anywhere else. And get in there and get on my face before the Lord. Oak Grove Baptist Church, I always would go out behind. They had a bunch of old oak trees out there, live oak trees, and I love to go out there and pray before the services. And I can remember just clear, plain, I was begging God for revival in America. And he told me, it spoke to my heart, and I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but the truth got real in my heart, that America will fall one day, but it's going to be okay. He has a plan. I'm not come this morning to preach gloom and despair to you. I'm praising God for what he's done. They can take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse wall. They can make it illegal to pray and read the Bible in public school. Do a lot of different things, and they're not through yet. It's going to get worse. But thank the Lord, he can't ever take the Lord out of our heart. Amen. The devil can't ever rob us of that. And we have a mission to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. That's our job. And we ought to be faithful till Jesus comes. In the book of Isaiah, there are 66 chapters which parallel your Bible, which has 66 books in it. And this book was written 700 years before Christ ever came. I've emphasized over and over, I want you to get a view of this. Here's a man that God called, that God anointed. His name's Isaiah. God showed him things that were going to happen. God spoke to him and spoke to the nation of Israel through him. He spoke to them about their immediate situation, the fact that they had, like the northern kingdom, when the kingdom was divided, the southern kingdom had drifted into idolatry. They turned their back on God. I read some of that. I'm going to emphasize some of that again in chapter number 66 this morning. He had prophesied to them that judgment would fall, that if they would cry out to God, if they turned to God and repent, that God would hear and answer their prayer and God would do something. And he also prophesied to them that you're not going to do it. And you're going to go on in your own self-will way. I know what you're going to do. But he said, there will be a group that will call to me. And he said, at the end of the judgment time, the chastening time, 70 years, I'm going to raise up a king. His name's going to be Cyrus. He'll be king of the Persian Empire. And so he prophesied about immediately those people living. 70 years down the road, he said, a king's coming on the scene. You're going to be in captivity, be scattered abroad. He said, but he'll give a decree, allow you to come back into the land. The temple will be rebuilt at that time, and you'll be back in the land. And then he said, you'll serve me for a period of time, but then you'll begin to drift again, and all your descendants will begin to drift again. And he said, down the road, I'm going to send Messiah. I'll send Messiah, one born of a virgin, he said in Isaiah chapter 6 and 7. He said it'd be one a unique situation. His name's going to be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He talked about in Isaiah chapter 53 how that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come, how he would bear our sins in his own body on the tree. He talked about how he'd be bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace put upon him, and how he'd look down through time and see the travail of his soul and be satisfied, because he'd see the results. He'd see people like you who trusted Jesus Christ. And when Christ came and when he suffered and died on that cross, he, like the song said, he had you on his mind. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. He loved you. And way back before the foundation of the world, as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, he looked down through time. He saw you. He saw you repent. He saw you trust him as Savior. He saw the joy that filled your soul. He saw your sins forgiven. And beyond that, he saw you in a place called heaven. And thank the Lord for that. Amen. And he saw all that. Now, Isaiah, God spoke to Isaiah and said, Messiah's coming. But then he said, when Messiah comes, you reject him. Most of Israel will reject him. There will be some who will trust him, some who will repent of him. And he said, then he said, there will be this age. And Isaiah didn't see very clearly the church age, but he looked beyond the church age and he saw what was going to happen. He did not see the rapture of the church, but thank the Lord, Paul and the New Testament prophets and New Testament apostles, God revealed that truth to them, how the Lord Jesus Christ would die, he'd be buried, rise again, and the Holy Spirit of God would come, and that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Spirit of God, through the preaching of the gospel, through the singing of the gospel, distribution of Bibles and Bible tracts, would carry the gospel around the whole world, giving men and women, boys and girls, a chance to hear the good news, the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, and he's coming back again. And he said, that's going to all happen. That's going to happen. And people will be born again by the grace of God. They'll be added to the fellowship. But the vast majority of the people will reject me. They'll reject the truth of the gospel. And you'll be hated and you'll be despised. But he said, there's coming a day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. We're getting right down near the end of the time. Getting right down near the last tick of the clock. And he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And the love of many shall wax cold. And many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. But he said, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who died. But the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But while we are there rejoicing, all the saved, every saved person in this building, every saved person in the radio audience, every saved person in the internet audience, if you're saved, if Jesus were to come today, and there's not one biblical reason he couldn't come today, then you'll be taken out in what's called the rapture. You say, Brother Billy, you believe that? 2010, you still believe that? I still believe that. I still believe he's coming again. And I believe his coming is imminent, almost at the door. And then after that, Daniel chapter 9, this world will be plunged into what the sage has been set for, and that is the tribulation period. Man has always, I haven't read my text yet, this is a long introduction. Man has always had a desire to have order, not confusion. And so they've set about to set up different governmental rules and regulations and different types of governments, totalitarianism or communism or socialism. And they tried everything. Nothing works. Nothing works. We've tried democracy, and democracy is not working very well. In our Constitution, we are guaranteed the rights. We're guaranteed privileges. And over again, our rights are infringed on. They're being handicapped and taken from us a little bit at the time. And God has, I believe, given a wonderful opportunity for this nation over the years to get the gospel out around the world. But even in democracy, there was a guiding principle that made it work. It was not just the Constitution. It was not just the idea of the amendments to the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. There was an underlying principle in our founding fathers. And when you study that, and you'll find that all of those men, just about to a man, understood this, that it is impossible to rightly govern or to have any kind of social order or any kind of effective government that does not rob people of their rights and their privileges as ordained by God, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That only way that government or any government could function is if it functioned as one nation under God. That was the principle. The success of America is not democracy. The success of America was rooted in the fact that we set up a governmental system that was unique in all the world, but it was under this principle, one nation under God. One nation under God. And only by doing that, Ben Franklin said, I doubt very seriously, he said, if a sparrow can't fall to the ground without our great Creator knowing that we could ever do anything, I'm paraphrasing, in regard to government or establishing of a constitution without his blessing and his guidance. And he moved, therefore, that every session that they met to frame and to form our constitution would be open with prayer. Not now I lay me down to sleep. Not thank you for the bread and thank you for this. But to seek divine guidance and God's direction for a new nation under God. At that time, they were to pray and to submit themselves to his wisdom, his guidance, and his direction. And as long as we as a nation have done that, God has blessed this nation But that trend has changed drastically. In 1957, Dwight David Eisenhower was president. He went to hear a Presbyterian preacher preach. And he talked about the drift of America and away from God. And that preacher preached and said, the only hope of America is revival and to get back to God. Dwight David Eisenhower, our president at the time, agreed. He went back, contacted several senators, and it was put into our national pledge, into our motto, under God, one nation under God. And just this past year, the Gay and Lesbian Coalition has begun to erect billboards across our country, and where they give that part of our pledge, and it says, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. They leave out the under God part. One nation, indivisible. Now, the key and the success of America has not been our unity as a people. You've got to have that. But it was the fact that we were one people in unity under God. I notice up and down the road these little signs on the back of a car. And it says, coexist. It has on there the emblems of different religious groups, Jew, Protestant, so on, even satanic symbols. And they made it the word coexist. How many of you ever seen that bumper sticker on the back of a car? How many of you understand that that's all that is? That's a bumper sticker. That idea of coexisting. Man has always wanted to have unity. They've always wanted to have that. But they gravitate to human reasoning and human ability, and it is an impossible task. Why? Why is it that way? Because of this one thing. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. That doesn't mean all in Johnson County. That doesn't mean all in North Carolina. That doesn't mean all in America. That means all over the world. That means that every human being who's ever been born since Adam was part of Adam's race after the fall. And because of that, they have in them an old sinful nature. And unless that sinful nature is regenerated or born again by the grace of God, then it will always seek self. It'll always fight against God and not want to yield to Him. So the idea of coexisting with all the different religions, or the idea of some government where there could be peace and harmony and unity, has always been the dream of mankind. But there's only one way that can happen, and that is if it is one nation under God. That's the only way it can happen. Only way it can happen. And God has told us that. Now, you may not agree with that. You may be in the radio audience. You may be sitting in this building. You don't agree with that. You want to be tolerant. You want to believe everybody can get along together. The idea that human beings can get along together without some supreme ruler, and that is the Lord God eternal, that is Jehovah God, my dear friend, it's been proven in history over and over again that it will not work. Yeah. There are kingdoms buried. There's tombstones testify of what men can do unless they serve God. Yeah. Now, not only is chapter 66 the climax of this great book, this prophecy, but it is also the climax of the age. Now, I want you to look at it with me, and I've did a long, long introduction. I'll give you a short, short message. Now, watch. Listen to the text. I need to read the Bible. This is the Word of God. And listen to what it says. Here's the panorama of human history. It has been one of trying every way in the world to have unity. It's one of every way in the world trying to get along together. And it's testimony after testimony after testimony, but it's been total failure. This little nation here that we call America has in all of history been the one nation that has said this, one nation under God. It is not a radicalism. It is not a religion or what people call religion. It is a personal relationship and a personal submission to a holy, great, loving God. Our God does not commission us to go out and to slaughter every infidel or every person who does not believe what we believe. We have preached a gospel of peace. We've gone and pleaded with and begged and preached the gospel. We've loved and cared and built hospitals and loved people and done mission work and fed them and done all those things. That's what the Church of the Living God's done. That's what America's done. And the only time that we were engaged in conflict was for self-defense or for liberation, to help our neighbors when there was a world power, somebody who was motivated to annihilate and destroy other peoples. God has blessed America. But now watch what happens. Every nation's drifted. The Bible said He'll turn every nation that forgets God into hell. That means America. Now watch the picture. Notice what He says in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Here's the summation. Here's the climax of this great book. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Enough said. He said, by the way, I just want to remind you, with all your high tech, with all your nuclear power, with all your advancements in medication, and in science and in biology and all that you've done, I just want to remind you of one thing. Heaven is my throne and this earth is my footstool. He's still in control. He's still on the throne. He hadn't relinquished. He hadn't created this world and left it to run down like a clock, backed off into a corner somewhere. He's still in control. I'm not a bit worried. His throne's in heaven. He's in control. This earth is His footstool. Now He says to Israel, who was very proud of their religious activities, where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's head, a neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he be blessed, an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their own abomination. Also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, and none did answer, then I spake. They did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hate you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorious, but He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. The voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendeth recompense unto His enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith my God? Rejoice ye in Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be born upon her side, and be dadled upon her knees. As one whom the mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like the herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and in indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, and render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with fire, flames of fire. For by fire and by his word shall the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eateth swine, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination of the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape from unto the nations, to Tarsus and to Pul and to Lud, and that draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles of Pharaoh, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon the swift beast, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering to the clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And I will also take them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one moon to another, new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abomination unto all flesh. You know what I just read to you? I read to you tomorrow's news. I read to you history in review. That's what's going to happen. That's going to be the end of the age. That's where we are. If you go to Revelation, it's expanded in great detail in Revelation. The desire of man to have a unity is going to culminate with a one world political system. It's going to be led up by a man that we have identified in the Bible as Antichrist. But who knows? How many of you know? Don't raise your hand. That most people in our nation and around, they would say to you, you know what's wrong? It's all this religious business. That all the great wars of history have been religious wars. And the conflict in Israel, the conflict that's now going on, is all religiously motivated. And so if there was some way that we could centralize and ecumenicalize, or if we could get everybody together under one umbrella, then we'd have a wonderful society. So if there's some way that we could get a one world political system and get a one world religious system, there'd be peace and utopia for everybody. The only problem is we got to leave him out of the picture. It cannot be this God. It cannot be the God, I believe, who was instrumental in founding America. It cannot be the God who gave his only begotten son, that whoso believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's got to be another God. And that's their goal. And that's where we're heading. And that's what's going to happen. But my dear friend, he makes some promises in the passage of Scripture. He said, don't you know one thing? He said, there's a group of people who have humbled themselves and who have believed my word. And he says this to them, I'll give you peace like a river. I'll give you joy unspeakable, full of glory. My dear friend, the message has not changed in all these years. You and I have a job to do, and that is to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. It is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that men and women might be saved, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and live all eternity. We are strangers and pilgrims down here, by the way. Did you know that? We're just here for a short time. This world is, in fact, coming to an end. But you can be born again by the grace of God. He said, to this man will I look, he that has contrite, those who tremble at my word, those who look to my word and trust my word. He said, I will give them everlasting life. I'll give them peace. And he said to the nation of Israel, he said, there's coming a day that Jerusalem will be the center of the whole world and the new world. And he said, at that time, he said, you'll have peace. And he makes this promise to them. He said, I will make and shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. The remarkable thing, one of the most remarkable things about all of history, and there is today in a little piece of land in the Middle East, a nation called Israel. It's there because of his promise. And when all the dust settles and all the world powers have come together in the book of Revelation, in the great battle of Armageddon, and when all the world powers have been annihilated and there's no more world governments, none whatsoever, and when he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's going to be one nation under God. It ain't going to be America. It's going to be Israel. He's made them that promise that they will remain. We'll be the part of the bride of Christ, those who've been redeemed. We'll be the bride of Christ. But the nation of Israel will still exist. Our citizenship today is in heaven. I'm glad I was born in North Carolina. I'm glad I'm a Tar Heel. I'm glad that I am an American. But I won't always be an American. There's coming a day that America will be no more, but I'll be a citizen of eternity. I'll live with the presence of the Lord for all eternity. You say, Brother Billy, you believe that? Just as sure as I'm standing here. If you believe that, what should you do? If you really believe this is the end of the story, if you really believe these things are going to happen, he makes a simple statement in this passage of Scripture. He said, all this ritualistic sacrifice and all those things, they don't mean a thing to me. It doesn't mean a thing. He said, but here's who I respond to. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Those people, my dear friend, who come in repentance and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and tremble, trust his word, recognize the authority of the Bible, of his word. He said, that's the one I'm going to look to. Now, you can do what you want to. You have every right to choose to serve the God of this world. You have every right to reject the truth of the Bible. You have every right to make fun of this preacher or any other preacher. In fact, the day will come in America when I believe evangelical Christians, and they already are in part, will be a great target because they are the radicals. They're the ones who are holding back progress. They're the ones who preach against what we call social betterment and society getting along and everybody be at peace and one nation indivisible. All you got to do is just leave God out of the picture. One nation indivisible. But the truth of the matter is that we are, in fact, one nation under God, indivisible, under God. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? You say, Brother Billy, is this not much of a shout message? I don't believe God wanted it to be this morning. I want you just to understand something. This is real. This is not just playing church. This is not playing Sunday school. There's a God in heaven who created all this. There's a God in heaven who holds you personally accountable. There's a God in heaven who knows your name. And he gave his son to die for you. He wanted you to be in heaven for all eternity. And whosoever will become. He's not impressed with our big building. He's not impressed with all our religious activity. He said, I'm looking for one group of people. Those who have a contrite heart. That's a broken, humbled heart. Recognize their sinners and recognize they need a Savior. And who tremble at my word. Recognize the word of God. I'm blessed by the Bible. I'm blessed by the word of God. But oh, how I love and reverence the word of God. Because it's through the word of God I heard about Christ. Do you know him? Are you saved? Why, you say, Brother Bill, I can't hardly wait to get out of here. When I get out of here, I'm going to get out of this morbid spirit. Listen to me. You watch the news. Watch what's happening. We're living in Isaiah 66. We're right on the threshold of every bit of that. And it's coming to pass. I'm not a bit worried. I'm gonna do all I can. I'm gonna take my vitamins. I'm gonna do everything I can. I wanna just stay in good shape because I wanna be in the fight. I wanna keep preaching the gospel. I wanna keep working hard to see every person I can saved before Jesus comes. I believe that's what he's called me to do. That's what he's called this church to do. That's why we do everything we do. Because we want to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. I'm gonna vote in November. I'm going to politic a little bit along the line. I'm going to do everything I can. But ultimately, I know what's going to happen. I'm responsible for my little part of the world, my little part of time, my little capsule of time. But my agenda is not political. It is spiritual. I want to see every Democrat saved. I want to see every Republican saved. I want to see every independent saved. I want to see every Hispanic saved. I want to see every black saved. I want to see every Caucasian saved. I want to see every African saved, every Filipino saved. I want to see every German saved. I want to see every person on the face of the earth know Christ. And they can do that. They can still do that. They can still be saved. And as long as we preach the gospel, we'll keep reaching souls. But I don't want you to live in a little dream world. Honey, this thing's a winding down. We're taking on water. And I guarantee you, the world's going to be on fire one of these days. And I like what old Dr. Hudson said one time. He said, when the fire falls, there ain't much difference between the ashes of a Chevrolet and a Mercedes Benz. It won't make a bit of difference then. You better have the goods. You know, better know what's real. Do you know him? Would you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? I want to thank the Lord today for the book of Isaiah. I thank him for his mercy and grace. I pray the Holy Ghost of God has sobered us. There's times we need to be very sober. Nobody enjoys having fun and a good time more than I do. Nobody enjoys God's creation more than I do. I intend to preach and visit and sing and do all I can. I intend to spend some time with my family. I intend to just enjoy the blessings of God and God's creation as long as the Lord will let me. But I'm not living in a fantasy world. I know the clock is ticking. I know this thing's coming down to the end. I want to do everything I can to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. That's why we went this week and put a new box up in Northern Virginia on the interstate up there. That's why we're trying to get as many CDs out as we can. That's why we're trying to preach everywhere God opened the door. That's why we're just excited about our care ministry and our angel food ministry and our mission teams and folk going here, there, and everywhere. Because we want to do everything we can to touch lives for Christ. We want you to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. There's a peace like a river. There's a blessing to be had for those who have humbled themselves before the Lord and received his word. Revelation chapter 6 verse 15 says, and the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdom of the Lord, and he shall reign forever and forever. In the great song, the Messiah, that truth is reiterated. And that's why when it was first sung, the royalty in Rome, in England stood and recognized that great truth, that there's one God, one mediator between God and man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to change that message. Not going to try to even be politically correct. We're going to be biblically correct. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. One way to go to heaven, and that's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's so simple, a little boy could do it. A little girl could do it. A teenager could do it. A young adult could do it. A senior citizen could do it. I'm not a bit worried. I'm rejoicing. I'm going to be faithful to Jesus. I'm going to be a good patriot as long as I can for my nation, for my country. But I want to be a good soldier of the cross. And anything that our nation does that's contrary to this Bible, I'm obligated by the truth of the Word of God to point it out and to rail out against it and to be faithful to Jesus first, not any political system. Will you stand with your heads bowed and eyes are closed? Dear Holy Ghost of God, I want to thank you that you're here today. Thank you for anointing the children as they sang. Thank you for touching Angie as she sang, Brother Calvin. Thank you for your word. And our Father, this group of people have listened very attentively. I pray the Holy Ghost of God has spoken to their heart. They didn't hear a man. I pray they heard God. I pray, our Father, Lord, that the word of God has found lodging in their heart. Our Father, we have a daily responsibility. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We are going to share the gospel and preach the gospel and win folk for Christ. God, help us to do all we can. Help us to labor, because the night cometh when no man can work. And I pray right now, Lord, if you've spoken to a man or a woman or boy or girl, and you've awakened in them their need of a Savior, I pray, our Father, that God, you'd help them to understand that you're looking not to great political powers, not to great religious institutions, but to that man, to that boy, to that girl. You see them, you know them. And Lord, this morning, you've spoken to their heart. And I pray right now, our Father, they would turn and give their heart to you. I pray, God, they'd turn from their sin and turn to the Savior. I pray, our Father, this morning they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And I pray, Holy Ghost of God, that you deal with them. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, our Father, we are not going to be gloom and despair. We're going to rejoice. We're going to praise the Lord. Our Father, we're going to be busy about the Master's business. We want to do like the Apostle Paul. We want to finish our course. We want to finish what you've got for us to do in these last days. God, help us not to be lazy. Help us not to, Lord, just shirk our responsibilities. Help us, our Father, to get lined up and get on fire for Jesus. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.